A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them I will send fugitives to the nations, to Tarshish, Put, and Lud, Mosuk, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory, and they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels. Some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Acclaim him, all you peoples. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. For his merciful love has prevailed over us, and the Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, for that what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. 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 I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you're from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. I'd like to focus this morning on our second reading from the book of Hebrews. The message in our second reading today is clear. Do not be angry with God when he disciplines or corrects you. Do not give up or lose heart when he permits suffering in your life, for God disciplines those whom he loves. The book of Hebrews is a very mature and sober book when it comes to the pain and stress of Christian living and the endurance that it takes to run the race, to fight the fight, to finish strong. It's not a book that people normally gravitate toward, unless, of course, they have suffered and struggle for some explanation of how their suffering relates to God. It's normal for all of us to have experiences of stress and suffering that threaten our faith and press too hard, last too long, feel almost intolerable. Losing heart is a great spiritual danger. So today's message is an important one for us to believe in and understand. Our reading today talks about the discipline of God, what God does to get his desired results in the Christian life. You'll note that the word discipline occurs 5 times in this short reading, with each occurrence implying correction or training. Verse 11 brings this thought to bear even more when it says, "All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The pivotal term here of course, is trained, the word trained, which literally translates to exercise or the practice of being disciplined as an athlete. In other words, God permits suffering as an agent by which we are strengthened and proven and settled and made mature. That's part of God's plan. But this maturity can only be achieved if we consciously give all of our suffering up to God and trust in Him. Easy to say, difficult to do. In the book of James, we read this: "Count it pure joy when we are involved in every sort of trial. For the testing of our faith cultivates patience, and patience leads to endurance, which brings about maturity in us, to make us perfect, to bring us to the place of our maximum potential. So whatever God permits to happen to us is always with our salvation in view. This is extremely important for knowing and understanding the goodness of God. But not all suffering is a direct result of God's discipline. Some suffering may be due to living in a fallen world or the consequences of sin. Many believe that God doesn't care and looks on while hostile sinners hurt His people or while Satan ravages the world. Many believe that God rarely steps in to turn all this evil into good. Well, that's not what our text this morning is telling us. It has a totally different conception of what is happening to us. It says that God is disciplining us. He is teaching us and correcting us and transforming us. He has a purpose and a design in what is happening to us. God is the ultimate doer here. God is not a passive observer in our lives while sinners and Satan beat us up. He rules over sinners and Satan, and they unwittingly fulfill His wise and loving purposes of discipline in our lives. So I see this passage is teaching us that God reigns over the hazards of all our circumstances, over the health of our bodies, and over the hostility of our adversaries, designing all of life ultimately as a loving Father's discipline. God is committed to our growth. Not to our happiness, not to our comfort, certainly not to our bank accounts, but to our growth. Few things encourage God more than those marks of spiritual maturity as we grow up. It grieves Him to see us remain as an adult adolescent. He loves it when we respond to His leading and the way He touches our lives to shape us. He loves it when we say yes to His redirection. He loves it when we listen to Him. When hard times come, realize they have been permitted by God to test our faith and produce in us an attitude of patience. For often there is no avenue of escape except to keep ourselves in patience. Instead of bitterness and resentment, we should humbly submit our circumstances to God, which leads us to patient endurance and trust in God's providence. And when we let this process play out until it is fully completed, we discover we have become a man or a woman of mature spiritual character, a true child of God. No doubt God absolutely challenges our belief and attitude during these times of pain and stress, but not without reward. So don't resent these trials as intruders, those things that break into our lives inappropriately. Welcome the fact that they are part of our growing up and becoming spiritually mature. God allows pain in our lives and often directs it. So the Lord who loves us uses suffering to discipline us. But note that discipline is not punishment. It's a tool for shaping. Verse 10 says that he disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in his holiness. He sends crosses to help us. He wants us to learn to submit ourselves entirely to him so that we grow in humility. And if we trust in ourselves, that's likely not going to happen. But if you trust in God, you will be given strength from heaven and the joy of his consolations. Now, you may have been through such a time in your life, a suffering time, or going through something right now that you perceive as unfair or harsh. A cancer diagnosis, a terminal illness, loss of job, problems with a relationship. You may not have connected God to your suffering at all, or you may have thought it was some kind of penance that you had to endure. But wait, that is a very short-sighted view of things. The long view is that God is at work in our lives no matter what it may take to grow us up. A perfect example of this is when the psalmist says, "Your rod and your staff comfort me." A rod, not necessarily an instrument of comfort. But when that wandering sheep is hit on the leg by the shepherd's rod, it quickly puts him back in line, and he hears the message loud and clear, "Stop wandering." That redirection may have saved his life from wolves or kept him from starving. Obey the shepherd. He knows what is best for us. Proverbs 3 says, "Do not reject the Lord's discipline. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, and he chastises the son he favors." Let us therefore not resist the work of God in our lives. Not resist our suffering, but embrace it and allow it to do its redemptive work, molding us, shaping us, forming us more and more in Christ's likeness. Suffering, while painful and sometimes unbearable, can be a tool God uses to refine us, protect us from sin, and draw us closer to himself. So, I encourage all of us this morning to view suffering not as a sign of God's rejection, but as a testament to his love for us and a pathway to spiritual maturity.